RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
As a low of 17 degrees, feeling more like those low teens for your Tuesday morning, but luckily Tuesday afternoon, sunny and milder, a high of 50 degrees, and we'll likely see some more 50s heading into your Wednesday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Halen Wolheit.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's hour number two here on Sports Daily on this Monday morning. Tommy Caster, Jackson Schneider in for Jacob Albrocht and TJ Cleland on this week in between Christmas and New Year's. Max Power is producing the program. I want to take a moment to let you know that this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Crestview Country Club. I know the weather's gotten pretty cold. Jackson, I don't know, are you a golfer? Do you play golf?
I am. I got really into it right before we had our son, and okay, the last 8 months or so, I think I've played three times, which is not nearly enough, but I'm telling you, if there was anything on Christmas that I was thinking about doing outside, I was thinking to myself, man, I would love to play some golf today. It was gorgeous, and I couldn't make it happen, but I would have loved to get out to Crestview on Christmas. That would have been a great time to be out on the course.
Yeah, I got out there on Christmas Eve, actually, which wasn't quite as nice as Christmas Day. It was warm, but it was a little breezy. Christmas Day and the day after were just beautiful. But I'm not going to complain about getting out and playing golf in late December for sure. So we appreciate Crestview Country Club and their support of the program. Give them a call out there. And now's a great time to join right around the holidays and the off season and all of that. I'm pretty sure you can get a good deal if you give them a call and get out there to Crestview Country Club. Of course, we always appreciate them supporting Sports Daily. I've been curious about this for a minute, Jackson, and I feel like now is a good time to bring this up and ask you about this because again, this is the first time you and I have hosted this show together. You and I, we've spoken a few times. We don't know each other super well. Mainly, I know you from social media.
That could be a terrible way to know me.
I know, right? Okay, so clarify this for me. You went to KU, but you're a K-State fan? Am I getting that right?
I love explaining this, especially on the radio, so people can hate me that much more. But I was born in Manhattan, son of two K-State grads, and I grew up a huge K-State fan. But when I was in kindergarten, we moved from Manhattan to Lawrence, and I grew up in Lawrence and went to Free State High School, go Firebirds. And then when the time came for me to go to college, I went to Salina and played college tennis at Kansas Wesleyan. So I was pursuing my student athlete dreams. But when the time came for me to leave Kansas Wesleyan, I went to KU. I went home. My friends were there. You know, it was just what was easy and what made sense for someone that wanted to get into journalism and broadcasting as well. You know, the William Allen White School at KU is a fantastic experience. I wouldn't trade it for anything, but that little part of me deep inside that was raised a K-State fan through and through will never go away. But I feel like it gives me this unique perspective of I can root for both teams when they're not playing each other and have great like lenses to be both a fan and also a sports media personality that can critically speak about both teams. Like, gives me the perfect view, I think, on both teams, but it makes living in Kansas and being a KU grad very difficult when I start rooting for K-State and wearing purple and all that. But it gets,
so do you root for both teams, or is it primarily K-State, like, even though you went to KU?
So I would say I'm primarily a K-State fan, but I do root for KU. Like, I went on Monday last week to the KU-Davidson game. I wanted to make sure and get back to Allen Fieldhouse and catch a game with some of my friends and, you know, enjoy that part. But, like, it's been more K-State over the last several years. My fiance is a K-State alum herself, so it gets a little easier there. We did season tickets the last 2 years to K-State football, and so you get a little bit more into that because she had the young alumni discount and all that fun stuff. But, you know, I try to be as down the middle as I possibly can, but I can only help myself so much.
That's interesting. I'd always wondered how that kind of panned out for you. And, you know, there are some storylines for both KU and K-State basketball as we get into Big 12 play for both of these teams. It was just yesterday, K-State played UL Monroe and didn't look very good until late in the game. I mean, they only won by 9 points against a 3-10 UL Monroe team. And it, you know, it looked like the Wildcats, I mean, they were in a dogfight towards the end. It took PJ Haggerty to score a boatload of points down the stretch for the Wildcats to get that win. I would say there are some fairly major concerns for the Wildcats heading into conference
play. So many. When you're in a dogfight, and K-State had a 20-point lead, and they blew that very quickly, might I add, to a team that has one Division I victory so far this year, and it is to literally the worst team in the country, a team that K-State blasted by 40-something as well when they tried in Mississippi Valley State. But I think that is the main issue. It's trying, it's effort, and that has unfortunately been an issue for K-State, I feel like, for the last 2 years or so now, is effort and want to. And I think they've got the guys that do want to, and they can give the effort, but it was a very sleepy Sunday afternoon in Bramlage Coliseum against a really bad team, and they just looked like they were going through the motions and thought, well, we can just roll the ball out there and get a win over these guys and then turn our attention to BYU and Big 12 play. But K-State is not good enough to do that. Like, you will get beat by just about anybody. And Jerome Tang actually said that after the game. He's like, we are good enough to beat anybody in the Big 12, but we are also at the point where every team is good enough in the Big 12 to beat us. Like, we can't have games like this anymore where we just go and take it easy and expect to win. Like, that's not going to get it done the rest of the year. We can't afford that. And I hope a close win over UL Monroe was a wake-up call for K-State, because, boy, they needed it in a bad, bad way yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, you mentioned the Wildcats take on BYU next in their Big 12 opener. Kansas has had, or is going to end up having, almost 2 weeks off. They played that Davidson game right before Christmas on the 22nd. They don't play again until this Saturday. They take on UCF in their Big 12 opener. Hopefully that's enough of a gap and enough time for Darren Peterson to be able to go. That's a major storyline as well for the Jayhawks about what's going to happen with Darren Peterson. Will they see him for conference play? Will the guy be able to get back on the court or not? And it sounds like Bill Self is getting frustrated with it too.
I think everyone is. You know, when you've got a kid that is so clearly talented as he is, you want to see him on the floor. And in this day and age of college basketball, you know, he's making pretty darn good money not playing right now. And I think that adds to some fan frustration. But I'll say this, you know, being at Allen Fieldhouse for that Davidson win last week was incredibly encouraging for me to see. I understand Davidson is not a great team, but
yeah, they're not the Steph Curry Davidson of years past.
No, not at all. But to score the way Kansas did and to get everybody involved the way that they did, I mean, I think there were six double-figure scorers and just about everybody did a little bit of everything. Like, when you're talking about missing such an important piece in Darren Peterson, but you can still put together performances like that over the last couple of weeks, Kansas fans should be incredibly encouraged about where they're at, because it starts to make your mouth water about this two-week break, and if you can get Darren Peterson back for Big 12 play, what this team can really turn into. Now, that said,
they're probably a Final Four team.
I think they absolutely could
be Darren Peterson
if it goes as planned. My concern then becomes this group starts working as well as it is together without Darren Peterson, and you throw him back in there. Does that change the dynamic of this group? And that's where maybe Bill Self is getting frustrated, because he wants to figure out what this thing looks like when the whole team is together. Like, you've got to find a way to get at least a picture of what this can really be down the stretch. And you can't get that unless Darren Peterson laces him up.
Yeah, it's going to be challenging for sure. And I don't know what the day-to-day looks like with Darren Peterson's team, his camp, his family, whatever you want to call it, and the relationship with Bill Self and KU. But I know fans are getting anxious, I think would be the word, to get Darren Peterson back out there at full strength. And hopefully this nearly two-week break will help make that happen. Both KU and K-State have their Big 12 openers later this week. And I'm sure as the week goes on, the guys will have more on those games. We also talked to Paul Mills in our last segment about the Shockers. They kick off American play on Wednesday on the road at UAB. And really, the path for Wichita State is going to be an American Conference championship. That they're not an at-large team. There aren't enough quality wins in the non-con, or quality opponents in the non-con, for them to, you know, probably look at any kind of at-large bid. They're going to need to win the conference. They're going to need to make a run that way if they want to get into the NCAA tournament. But they've got the guys that, you know, at least offensively, and with what Coach Mills is preaching defensively, to try to get that done. I'm encouraged, at least from what we've seen as of late by Wichita State, that they could surprise some teams in this conference.
I think they very much could. And I don't know that it would even really be that much of a surprise with the pieces that they have. It's just kind of that Kansas situation of, can they put it together and get it at the right time? Because, I mean, they've got the rebounding. We talked about that. They're starting to see the offense really kick up. I mean, it's there for the taking if they go get it. I'm excited to see what Wichita State can put together. And UAB is a pretty solid team to start it off against.
We'll have that UAB game over on 103.7 KEYN on Wednesday afternoon. That's New Year's Eve. Looking forward to that. We'll get back into Chiefs talk. Joshua Briscoe from the Chiefs Radio Network joins us after this timeout. Tommy Casper, Jackson Schneider, it's Sports Daily. We're coming right back.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast. The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody, to Sports Daily on this Monday morning. Tommy Caster, Jackson Schneider, in for Jacob Albrocht and TJ Cleland. This portion of the program brought to you by Prairie Fire Coffee, keeping us fueled up and caffeinated here on this cold and early Monday morning here on Sports Daily. Joined now by Joshua Briscoe from the Chiefs Radio Network. Joshua, I was talking about it with a friend of mine after the Chiefs game on Christmas night, that out of all of the Chiefs games in history, that game on Christmas night was certainly one of them. It wasn't anything that was incredible. It was, you know, we're talking Chris Oladokun getting the start for Kansas City at quarterback. They lose that game by a touchdown to the Broncos. I guess the silver lining in all of it is it strengthens your draft position for the upcoming NFL draft. What were your big takeaways from Thursday night?
We are very aligned because as I was logging in here to chat with you guys, I thought I ought to go ahead and open my notes again because it feels like that game happened 6 months ago. Like, obviously, everyone's perception of time during the holiday season is like that one planet in Interstellar where you just, like, you fall asleep for 30 minutes and you wake up and it's 2026. Like, what's going on here? That's kind of what it felt like in that game on Christmas and kind of throughout these last several games now. There's good news and bad news to this, but I use the word forgettable to describe that game on Christmas, because you're right, it's not just that everyone was in some sort of either, you know, family or sugar-based state of mind that impacted how you were feeling about it. No, you really did watch Chris Oladokun go out there, play pretty good football in an offense that did not find any consistent success. You got a little bit of good news on Noah Williams, more reps for him. A really good day from Christian Fulton. That wasn't on my Christmas list anymore, but I'll take it. And still the incredibly small sample size for Breshad Smith and Jeffrey Bosa, guys who everyone's just interested to see here at the end of a lost season. But that really is the word that I was associating. It was just kind of a forgettable day at the office. If it wasn't for the fact that it was against the Broncos, if it wasn't for the fact that it was on Christmas, I think that's going to be a game that just kind of blurs into what was a really frustrating stretch of football to end this 2025 season. But to your point, Tommy, it's good news for the draft positioning. I know the guys wearing the helmets on Sunday or Thursday in this case, I know they don't care about draft picks when they're out there trying to move the football 1 yard at a time. But ultimately, that is a silver lining for Chiefs fans who are going to be in draft mode sooner rather than later if they're not already.
Now, I'm wondering, looking at this team, you know, motivation is certainly an issue. At least it was for me. I did not have a lot of motivation to watch that game, but I have to wonder about the guys that are in the helmets and pads on a game like that. You know, is that a concern, or are you fine if guys don't have the motivation because of that draft situation? Because, I mean, they're getting paid regardless, and you're only getting to see a portion of the guys who really have a point to prove, right? Like, I didn't feel like we saw nearly enough Breshad Smith, and he's a guy who I think would have a point to prove out there in a game that really bears no meaning for the Chiefs at all.
Yeah, and I just think it's really multifaceted, and it's because the different characters, by characters I mean the players, to the coaches, to the scout team, and not the practice squad, but like the scouting staff and the front office and the fans, usually you have the same rooting interest. Win the game, keep it moving. And in this case, I'm not really sure that you do or that you should. So for the players on the field, they will and they should give 100%, because you can't go 70% through an NFL football game. You'll get injured. You'll hurt someone else. Your responsibility will cost someone else. Not to pile on a guy who's been a really good story, but against the Titans, Esipole appeared to just not know his assignment, and it causes that safety there. That rep is important for Esipole. I think we've all seen good stuff from him. You see a future for him, but every one of these live reps, those are reps he's probably not getting next year. Josh Simmons is hopefully your healthy, available week one starting tackle. Jalen Moore is probably still your guy at right tackle. This might be the last time Esipole plays in an NFL game, a regular season NFL game, until his number is called in an emergency in week 6, 7, or 8 next year. So that wasn't for the kids. I always start counting in the middle of the 10 count, I guess. I don't know. Intentional, which is even more horrifying than if I did it on purpose. But that really is it for me, where and I'm with you. I want to see more Breshard Smith. I do want to see more Jeffrey Bassa. I want this to be a fact-finding mission the rest of the way. And the Chiefs have played a lot of young guys, but those two are the ones that keep kind of nagging, scratching the back of your head, thinking, well, we know they have a role long-term on this roster if they can take hold of it. Will they have that opportunity? And what does it mean that the Chiefs have continued to give the ball to Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt more these last two games, and really this entire season, of course, than they have to Breshard Smith?
It's kind of the same thing at wide receiver. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster is still getting targets, and Jalen Royals isn't really seeing the field. I mean, like, there's a lot of that. And I think that the draft position is obviously one piece of the conversation. The other piece of the conversation, to your point, is evaluating guys that you want to bring back next season. There's probably going to be, at least at some level, some kind of roster overhaul in the offseason. We talked about it in the last hour about evaluating guys that you want on this team moving forward, or guys that you're going to cut bait and you're going to say, hey, look, like, it didn't work to run it back. We're going to go a different direction. The challenging thing about this, Joshua, is obviously, as you know, there were some guys that probably got some kind of poor contracts that you're sort of locked in with, at least for next year, maybe future years as well. How do you think the Chiefs have to prioritize, you know, between, you know, if they're going to have a top 10 draft pick in round one versus if they go and make an offseason trade, if they go attack free agency? How do you think Brett Veach prioritizes that?
I think the most important thing, and this isn't in chronological order, so you're already getting the difficulties of this. The most important thing in this offseason is nailing that first draft pick. If it was so easy, I could do it. I can tell you that it's important. I can't tell you how it ultimately gets done. I think right now it seems most likely they end up picking 11. Obviously, I think this version of the Chiefs right now, not a great football team. But man, the Las Vegas Raiders are doing special things in terms of lowering the standard there. So I think if the Chiefs win on Sunday, I believe that 11 is probably the most likely spot if everything kind of goes chalk. That could be Carnell Tate, a wide receiver who I'm going to fall just enough in love with to have my heart broken when he's not a Kansas City Chief. That could be Jeremiah Love, and maybe you say, hey, look, there's a chance to add a real weapon in this offense, and we think he's going to make a bigger impact than your average first-round running back. Cool. Maybe that is the best defender available. And frankly, I'm always of two minds in terms of the running back value and what it does to your offense, what it does and doesn't fix. If you tell me you can go sign Brees Hall for a reasonable offseason contract, the most important thing that matters to me is that you get a legitimate blue chip talent at number 10, number 11 overall, because it's so rare that you end up in a position to be able to do that. They incredibly rarely did it at 32 last year with Josh Simmons, and that was with a huge amount of injury questions that obviously he blazed right through, and then he has the personal matter this year, and who knows where that was in the scouting report or whatever, but ultimately, they got a blue-chip talent at 32, and now you can project the Chiefs' left tackle for the next decade. Whatever your pick is at 10 or 11, that's either your number one receiver who resets your receiving room for 5 to 10 years. Maybe it's a running back who makes your offense more dynamic, or I'd be just as happy as anything to get a dominant pass rusher and a guy who can become a dominant pass rusher, take a little bit of that burden from Chris Jones quickly, and then become hopefully the guy that George Karlaftis can play second fiddle to for years and years to come. So all the other stuff, you've got to be wise about your offseason spending. And again, free agency opens before the draft comes around, so you can't wait and find out who you have at 10 or 11 before you end up making those moves. But the most important thing is that this is such a rare asset for the Chiefs to have. They never get to number 10 or 11 overall by accident. Obviously, they traded up for Patrick Mahomes, and it cost them a future first. Heck, they could trade back from 11, add a future first, and pick at 15 if there are only 8 blue chip players selected here, right? You have to make the wisest decision, and you've got to get it right with that first round pick. I know it's easy to say, hey, just do a good job and we'll all be happy, but it's really, really important. I think it's almost certainly the most important draft pick the Chiefs have had since they took Mahomes.
Well, if it's the most important draft pick since they took Mahomes, this makes Sunday all the more interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because you can, on one hand, lose and improve that important draft pick, right? But you have to lose to the Raiders to do it. And I don't know that I could ever push past the fact that it's the Raiders and want to lose a game, but I could see why it would be helpful. But then again, the Raiders are so dang bad that no matter how hard you try, can you really lose to them? So there's all sorts of interesting things that are ugly but fascinating heading into Sunday.
Yeah, and I think that's the consolation prize here for fans. You don't have to stress about it. Either way, don't stress about it too hard. Look, did it stink to lose at Arrowhead to the Broncos on Christmas? Yeah, but I bet you're probably over it by now, right? Like, it's we've gotten through. We got New Year's coming up. Yeah, that game's going to just sort of disappear into the back of your mind as years go by. I feel that way about this Raiders game, too. The problem is, to your point, there hasn't been a team this uninterested in winning games since the Washington Generals. Like, the Raiders right now are not here to play winning football. They're here to get the number one overall pick and to try to reset the mess they found themselves in for the 10th time in the last 15 years or whatever it is. So I do think the guys who are going to be on the field, evaluate them. Chris Oladokun, you get another start to show what's the idea of the range of quarterback you can become. Christian Fulton, go have another good day again. Noah Williams, go play 100% of the snaps and get more experience under your belt. I will continue to wish upon a star. Jalen Royals, Breshard Smith, Jeffrey Bassa. I would just like to see you in a Chiefs uniform on the field to get a little bit of evaluation going. The Chiefs are going to prepare to win this game because that's what you do over the course of an NFL week. I think that's the right way to be. It's frankly the right way to be for guys like Noah Williams or Breshard Smith or whoever it's going to be. You don't want them to go out there and halfway walk through a game plan. This is still the NFL, and teams are trying to win on an individual basis, even if they're not trying to win on an organizational basis like the Raiders are right now. So I think you just put your foot on the gas with the guys that you have. You certainly move. Again, like, I like Drew Tranquil. He's been a really good player on this team through this run. He's probably not on this team next year. Jeffrey Bassa definitely is. So let's see those sliders move a little bit closer in the young player's direction, see what you've got, and then just go out there and try to end the season on a high note. Either you end it with a win over the Raiders and you pick probably 11, or you end on an unbelievable losing streak, a sad loss to the Broncos and Raiders, and maybe you pick 8 or 9. So, and you can try to knock the Raiders back into a little bit of chaos there too. So, again, the players on the field are going 100% as they should. If you as a fan are thinking, I wouldn't mind getting into the top 10, I certainly don't blame you.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, the Chiefs are in a pretty good spot right now. I mean, because you're through the thought of the playoffs. Like, that's right off the table at this point. You've kind of gotten into this acceptance mode, right? Like, you're done being angry. You're done being upset. You're like, all right, it is what it is. Let's just try to get into the offseason and make this team better. And, you know, I think that one other thing that's interesting about the decisions that have to be made in this offseason, whether we're talking draft, free agency, or what have you, is, yes, it's about personnel, but it's also scheme. Like schematically, I think the Chiefs need to reevaluate how they play their game. I mean, I think teams around the NFL have figured out how Andy Reid does things with Patrick Mahomes offensively. I think, you know, probably less so on the defense with Spags. Like, he's still a really good defensive coordinator and he still can put out great defenses and play calling and all of that. But I do think that's a big part of the offseason as well. Not just who are we going to have on this team, but how are we going to play Chiefs football going into next season?
Yep, I agree with that. And look, I mean, you understand how you might not iterate as much as you used to when all you do is go to the AFC Championship game and three consecutive years in a row, all you do is go to the Super Bowl, all you do is win two of them. I understand, truthfully, I really do understand how you go through, well, we're not going to like reinvent the wheel here. The wheel is rolling. And, yeah. And this year, the wheel hit a couple of bumps, you broke a couple of spokes. And frankly, last year should have been the indicator on that. But I understand also, you say, well, we had no left tackle play last year, just nothing consistent. Everybody was getting hurt. You don't have Rashee Rice. Xavier Worthy comes along slowly. And you just get to the Super Bowl with Kareem Hunt and 3.5 yards a carry and clouds of dust all over the place. So I understand how you get kind of lulled into that sense of security, rightfully so. But now it's pretty laid bare that, as you said, Tommy, it's The league knows what's happening. We've seen Rashee Rice get lit up because the defenders are arriving to the football the same time that Rashee Rice is. How do you get back to that point where you have to always be out iterating in the NFL? If you have not evolved, if you're not a step ahead, you're two steps behind, because it's all just moving so fast. Yeah. And frankly, like, part of it, and it's why I kind of balk at Jeremiah Love a little bit, not as a player, but as a value, where I think, well, I don't know if you, I'm extremely glad they didn't trade a third round pick for Breece Hall for 6 or 7 games or whatever it was going to be, because I don't think he's changing their fate nope. that way. I don't know if just dropping a better running back in fixes the running game problems, right?
Agreed.
Now, with an offseason, if you said, hey, Andy, you got Jeremiah Love in 2 months before training camp, what do you want to do with that? I think that he would have some fun drawing up some new plays on the note cards and on the cocktail napkins and whatnot. So I do think there's a larger conversation to be had there. And just from a player development standpoint, and this is hard to evaluate, so I really don't say this definitively, but I just think it's interesting. We give Dave Merritt a ton of credit and give Steve Spagnuolo a ton of credit for how they develop their cornerbacks. And I think, like, if anything, we under-discuss that because it's amazing. Jalen Watson is going to make generational money for himself this offseason, either in Kansas City or somewhere else. Trenton McDuffie, obviously a first-round pick, but man, he's really played like it. Unfortunate right now that we're talking about him after one of his two bad games in his career, and then obviously his season ends. You get worthwhile cornerback play, at least for a while, from Joshua Williams and Nazi Johnson, even for a little while. Lejarius Sneed, an incredible development story. Noah Williams looks like one of those guys. And you go, man, like, and that's not even with the safeties that they've drafted. You go, man, what an unbelievable job they've done developing cornerbacks and finding diamonds in the rough that way. Meanwhile, you look at specifically the way we've talked about running backs and wide receivers, and you go, man, I don't feel like these guys have gotten better in their time here. It feels like, if anything, Rashee Rice has had a little bit of a regression this year, not just because of the knee injury, but because of his route running. He's has had drop problems, some route speed problems. I still believe in Xavier Worthy, but I'm not sure he's been used the right way this year, and obviously he's been playing through injury. All of that to say, there are just like enough red flags here and there where, like, the veterans you can trust, your Juju Smith-Schusters, and then obviously a tight end, but Travis Kelce, always a huge part of this conversation. It seems like they've had a harder time getting, and especially Breshard Smith as a running back, they've had a hard time finding that consistent growth, that consistent progression from the running backs and wide receivers. And you can keep throwing draft capital at that, and you should, but how do you get the most out of those guys? I hope that's a conversation they have this offseason too.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussions to be had, a lot of decisions to be made. One more go around, though, week 18 in Vegas against the Raiders. I can't say I'm looking forward to it, but I mean, it's a Chiefs game. I'm going to be watching it anyway. It is what it is. So we'll have the coverage of all of that over on KNSS on the Chiefs Radio Network. Joshua, we're up against it. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, fellas. Let's do it one more time.
You know, I thought, Jackson, some pretty good thoughts from Joshua Briscoe as far as the priorities for the Chiefs going into the offseason. You know, I think that really it goes back to what we talked about in our first hour, and Joshua alluded to this. If you've got a top 10 pick, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs going into the NFL draft, even if you pick at number 11, while there probably is a case to be made for somebody like a Jeremiah Love if he falls to you, will that transform the Chiefs offense? And I think the answer is no. I mean, I think he's a great talent, but it's more about the scheme of the Chiefs and what they're doing offensively than it is about the one player that you're adding to the roster.
The scheme to do it, but it also, like, your offensive line hasn't been at full strength since I don't really know when. You know, if you brought in, like, he mentioned trading for Breece Hall and how that was a heavy discussion several weeks ago, and I completely agree with him. Had the Chiefs made that decision to deal some picks to bring in Breece Hall, how bad would that have aged? Because I really don't think Breece Hall would have made a difference, because the idea of Breece Hall makes a difference. He's an outstanding running back, and shout out to a Wichita native, you know. But it would he really be able to create much in that run game because of the offensive line injuries and the depth issues there right now? And then you mentioned the scheme. Like, the Chiefs don't have a traditional running game scheme right now as it is, so it'd be extremely challenging to get him, you know, touches in a way that he is used to and productive in doing. So I'm really glad the Chiefs didn't end up doing that. Now, I would love having Breece Hall on the team in the future if that's a possibility, but you got a lot of other things you got to work out in the time being. And we didn't have time to ask Josh this in the last segment, but we talk about making decisions on who's going to be playing for the Chiefs. I think there's some discussions that need to take place who's going to be coaching with the Chiefs. I mean, Matt Nagy is rumored to be one of the favorites to land the Tennessee Titans head coaching job. But beyond that, like, Dave Tobe, the special teams coordinator, there needs to be some conversations there, because, I mean, I swear, just about every single kick return the Chiefs had this season, there was a penalty flag. They weren't very good in the return game, with the exception, I guess, of the Rashard Smith kick return on Christmas just a couple of days ago. But, like, special teams was a disaster. Harrison Butker took noticeable steps back. Like, there seemed to be a lot of coaching decisions that might need to be made for Andy Reid and company to help this team move forward into the future as well. And that also boils down to, like, the scheme, because if you make some changes in the coaching staff, you're going to make some changes in the scheme, because not everybody does it the same way. And I think a fresh start in some areas would do the Chiefs a lot of favors.
Yeah, but let's be real. I mean, Andy Reid is making the final decision on plays that are being called and things like that. So you might change some of the supporting cast as far as the coaching staff is concerned. But at the end of the day, it's Andy Reid's offense. Like, he's going to call the plays and all of that. Now, I don't disagree. Like, I think Matt Nagy, regardless if he gets a head coaching job, like maybe in Tennessee or not, I don't think he should be part of the coaching staff next season, primarily because I think you almost need a sacrificial lamb a little bit, even though we all know Matt Nagy's not the guy who's making the final decision on things. I agree with you about Dave Tobe. At one point, he was one of the best, if not the best, special teams coordinators in the NFL. He hasn't been this year. I think that now's a time where you rip the Band-Aid off and you kind of think, okay, if we want to have Patrick Mahomes, when he comes back healthy, be able to be the best version of himself long term, we need to make sure that we're surrounding him with the best players. We need to make sure that we're surrounding him with the best coaching staff, like all these guys around him. Like, that's got to be the number one concern. And throughout all of these conversations this morning, whether it was just you and me or Joshua Briscoe joining us, we didn't talk about Patrick Mahomes at all. That's got to be the driving force behind all of it. Is this going to help Patrick Mahomes? Whatever decision you make, whether you draft Jeremiah Love, whether you change the way you're calling plays, you're doing different things, you're bringing back certain players or not. That's got to be the prevailing question from each in this offseason, is what we're doing, is that going to help number 15 have the best kind of success that he can possibly have?
Now, I will say, you know, my staffing changes thoughts. Like, you're absolutely right. Andy Reid's making the final call, and he's the one that's going to be in charge of scheme and different things like that. But I just want some different voices in the room.
Yeah.
Like, because if there's someone at the end of a table in a meeting that says, hey, why don't we try this? And that idea doesn't get brought up by, you know, your traditional staff, the cast of characters that we've mentioned here recently. Like, just some fresh ideas. Something that'll make Andy Reid kind of sit back and maybe not even reinvent anything, but just refocus a little bit. Try something that he hasn't done in a while, because we talk about, you know, how things get stale sometimes and how the league kind of figures you out. It's time to start swerving another direction, because for so long, the rest of the league was playing catch up and doing everything in their facilities to catch up and meet the Chiefs and become better than them. Now the Chiefs have been surpassed, it feels like, and you got to go and find a different way to be successful. And I don't think you're going to get that with the same group doing the same things again. Like, you have to get some new ideas in there. Even if Andy Reid ultimately is still making the calls, like, just giving him another perspective to consider and maybe doing some things slightly differently. I'm not asking for meteoric changes. I'm just asking for something slightly different, because clearly this particular recipe did not work this year at all, and you need to spice it up a little bit to hopefully see success next year.
And we're seeing a changing of the guard across the NFL in general. I mean, it's not just the Chiefs. The Chiefs are the most glaring example of it, because to your point, everybody was trying to catch up to Kansas City. Everybody's caught up to the Chiefs. Not everybody, but a lot of teams have caught up to the Chiefs, because they haven't gotten any better over the years. They've stayed the same, gotten stagnant, gotten stale, and in some areas regressed with age and injuries and things like that. You're seeing a changing of the guard. The Bills don't look amazing. I mean, we saw them and the Eagles in an absolute slog fest yesterday in the rain in Buffalo. The Eagles don't look amazing. Like, neither one of those teams look great. The Ravens, outside of Derrick Henry, I mean, I know that they obviously were able to bounce back. They actually look better without Lamar Jackson out on the field. The Ravens do right now. Like, there's a changing of the guard. You've got a guy like Drake May, who looks like a Madden player out there, like throwing for 5 touchdowns, and the Patriots look fantastic. Like, there's a changing of the guard. The 49ers look like an absolute wagon with Brock Purdy at full strength right now. Their defense is a little bit suspect, but like, I watched Brock Purdy. I don't know if you saw this play last night. Threw a touchdown pass to Kyle Juszczyk that looked like a vintage Patrick Mahomes play. Like, he's avoiding defenders, and then he's just kind of like flicking it into the end zone for Juszczyk to score a touchdown. Like, these other teams have caught up to Kansas City. Now it's time for Brett Veach and Andy Reid and the entire crew there during this offseason. You've got to reinvent the wheel. I think you have to. I think you've got to try to figure out, we've got a generational player in Patrick Mahomes, and when he comes back healthy, we owe it to him to figure out a better way to do this so we can get back to the promised land once again.
Yes, and you mentioned that slog fest between the Eagles and the Bills yesterday. I saw this stat, and I wondered if you had maybe seen this, but the 2025 Eagles are now the first team since the 1987 Patriots to win multiple games in a season in which they didn't complete a pass in the second half.
That's, wow, okay.
Jalen Hurts was 0-7 passing in the second half, which first of all shows you, you know, how bad the weather was. They weren't throwing the ball hardly at all, plus they have Saquon Barkley. But to be 0-7 passing in or worse multiple times and still win, it's just, we're in this weird upside down of football these days, because defenses have started to defend the pass so much better over the last several years, because that's all offenses have started to do. And now you're starting that pendulum back the other way, where running the ball comes to be so important. We just talked about the Chiefs especially needing to find some success in the running game. It looks like there's a lot of other teams kind of looking in that same direction too. So who knows what that'll do to the running back market this offseason.
Well, and, you know, I mentioned the 49ers, and I was way impressed with them offensively, and I have been for the past couple of weeks with Brock Purdy pretty much playing like the best quarterback in the league now that he's back and fully healthy. That NFC West is going to be insane between the Niners, the Seahawks, the Rams play tonight against the Falcons. Like it's going to be incredible going into the final week of the regular season and seeing how all of that shapes out and pans out over the next week or so. I feel like, you know, when going back to the Niners, like Purdy didn't have George Kittle last night and he didn't have Trent Williams on the line. Like, and he was able to put up what they score 42 points in that game.
Yep.
And like he kept it on the ground. And of course, McCaffrey is a workhorse and, you know, does McCaffrey type things. Like they're going to be a team to be reckoned with for sure. And there are other teams in both conferences that you look at and you're like, man, this is what it's weird to be talking about what the Chiefs should aspire to be, because they've been the team that everybody has been looking up to for so long. But like, I watch what Brock Purdy did last night with the Niners and I'm like, man, that's the way that I remember Chiefs football looking like offensively for the longest time. They've got to figure out a way to get back to that.
Yeah. And if nothing else, get back to the football that was fun. Like early in Patrick Mahomes' career, the Chiefs weren't the best team, but they were certainly the most entertaining. Like you would have a blast watching them, even if they lost, giving up 50 points to the Rams on Monday Night Football. Like that was awesome. And in over the last year plus of the Chiefs, like, they've won a lot up until the last few weeks, but it wasn't really that fun to watch more often than not. So I'd certainly, if nothing else, like to get back to at least enjoying my viewing experience of Chiefs football.
I mentioned Monday Night Football, the Rams and the Falcons in action tonight. You'll be able to catch all of the game right here on KFH. What's on Tap is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for holiday fun, beers with the boys, girls night out, or a glass of wine with a longtime friend. WBC is the place where groups gather for the holidays, East, West, and historic Delano. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. That's going to wrap things up for us on a Monday edition of Sports Daily. If you missed anything, you can go back and listen to it on the free Odyssey. Yeah, Monday Night Football tonight here on KFH. And here's a little announcement for you. A brand new show on Sports Daily follows us next at 11 o'clock. A guy by the name of Dan Patrick, the Dan Patrick Show, debuts here on KFH here at 11 o'clock. Jim Rome at 2 o'clock. We're having a lot of fun here on this Monday. Jackson and TJ will be back with you on Tuesday. Jackson, I had a great time today. Appreciate you joining me.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. I'm amazed that you guys keep asking me to come back. But I'm going to keep doing it every time that the door is unlocked. I'm going to walk in. So I guess you're not getting rid of me just yet. Me and TJ are going to burn it down tomorrow.
Yeah, I love it. You and TJ will be back tomorrow, and I'm sure it'll be a great show. For Max, for Jackson, I'm Tommy. Have a great Monday. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.